To have talent like that kind of keys me off. Last week I shared about the giving. Giving is an act of the grace of God. The gift is a great act of grace, and the aspect of your ability to give is a divine act of the grace of God. And I mentioned that there is that point that when you and I share what God blesses us with, such as in India, Mexico, and other places, and people are brought into the kingdom, that is a part of being added to your account as you give to missions and the work of the kingdom. Well, somebody said, where is that? And that said, in Philippians. And I want to read it before we begin this morning. So you know that when you give, and people are won to Christ through those people outside of this body, that if you support those ministries, every soul is being added to your account. All right? Philippians, in the last portion of the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and beginning at verse 15, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ." Amen. So when you come to give, of course, and the opportunity to come to give, God loves a cheerful giver. I said, God loves a cheerful giver. But the background of that word cheerful is a lot more than just cheerful. It's hilarious. God loves hilarious giving. I get the opportunity. I can give to God. I can share with other people the grace that God has shared with me. Under the Old Testament, when the Jews gave, they partied. When they had festivals where they were going to give to God, they were rejoicing and dancing and giving joy to God for the opportunity to give to God. Amen. Don't give grudgingly. That's what it says. Don't give out of compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And what we have here is that Paul is using the church at Thessalonica as an illustration to try to motivate the church at Corinth to become and get a deeper understanding of the end results of giving. In fact, the church here in Macedonia, they sought the favor. They wanted to have a part in the opportunity to be able to share with the saints back in Judea. In chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, of 2 Corinthians, look at it. This is what it says. He says, "I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, generosity." Beyond their ability, being generous, going beyond their ability, they were being generous. "They gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participating in the support of the saints." They wanted to participate. They wanted the opportunity to be able to share. And brother, every mission you and I support out of this body, you ought to know where it's going. You ought to know what's happening, the fruit of it. We give letters. We have time. I mean, it is amazing what's going on in India. It is. People over there are being immersed into Christ by the hundreds. And then men are being trained and preach the gospel up in the mountains, up in the hills and everywhere. And the gospel, Christianity, is spreading like wildfire in those regions. And we ought to be grateful that we have an opportunity to share. And every time you get a letter, And every time you get newscast, every time it says there 1,500 people have been immersed into Christ, then those people have been added to your account because you're supporting that ministry. Got it? Got it? That's what it said, right? That's why Paul said, I don't want the money. I'm not asking for the money. I don't want the money. What I want, he says, is for this to be added to your account. Isn't that what he said? Okay? So think about it a moment while we go on and share today. Because this is not as we expected, Paul said. But they first did what? They gave themselves. You see, they first gave themselves. Went up to Northland one time. Daryl Sprunger was giving a speech for the offering. Daryl always wore the bib overhauls and whatever. He said, we're going to do it differently today. He said, what I want you to do today, man, so I want you all to stand up, and the guy behind you is going to take your wallet out of your back pocket, and he's going to give whatever he really wants to give. I don't think that's what we're wanting. What God wants is for you to give him your heart. Okay? Because the Bible makes it so clear that out of the heart comes the treasures of life. And if your heart, if you're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven where rust and moth and thieves don't break through and steal, that's what we're trying to encourage you to do. But make sure you understand that it's by the grace of God that you have the ability to give. Because every good and perfect gift comes down from God. That for every dollar, everything you give to the kingdom is a gift of grace. And if you take and if you give it grudgingly, then you're bringing disgrace upon God's grace. Did you hear what I just said? Okay? And I really believe that. I think that's very important for us to understand in the context. So when we read the passage this morning, he says, he who sows what? Well, what? He who sows bountifully. Well, what? Each one. Don't. I didn't do that. Okay. All right. Thank you back there. So, he says, not grudgingly, nor under compulsion. God loves what? That Greek word, it goes back to the Hebrew word, means hilarious. Can you imagine that? Every time the offering plate is passed here from now on, we're all going to be laughing. Got it? Okay. And so we're going to be cheerful. God is able to make all what? Grace abound to you so that always having all, that means all you need, taking care of your needs in everything, you may have what? An abundance for every good deed. Did you hear what he said? Look at what it said. All grace. You see, giving is a grace gift. God's grace is going to abound in your life so that your needs will be met. Every one of them. He'll make sure that you're sufficiently taken care of. But he promises that you'll have more than what you need. You'll have an abundance so you can do what? You can do good unto others. You can bless other people. You can do and share and grant and help and encourage. And you can feed the poor. You can put clothes on orphans in India and wherever. You can take care of all those young people coming out of dysfunctional home down in Cookson Hill and know that they're going to be raised in a Christian environment. Many of them and all are going to be immersed into Christ. Many of them are going to become preachers of the gospel. And you and I are all sharing in that ongoing ministry throughout the whole world because of our being blessed by the grace of God. Everything's a divine act of grace. You see, we talk about being saved by grace, that not of ourselves. It is a gift. Well, your ability to give is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. God's taking care of you. God's blessing you. And if we understand the principle correctly, I understand that Dan only sowed one corn seed. Is that right, Dan? You just planted one seed, right, Dan? Dan! That's all you did. You planted one corn stalk, right? That's it. No, you didn't. And if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap accordingly, right? And that accordingly, all right? But if you sow bountifully, you're going to... So what's the principle? The principle is that God is going to multiply your seed according to how you plant. And as you plant and give into the kingdom, then God's going to multiply your ability to give. But if you go out and you're just going to build your bigger barns like the rich man did, then God said to him today, your soul's going to be required of you. Then who's all this stuff going to be? Who's going to take it then? So the principle is that God intends for his people to be sowing bountifully so that we can reap bountifully. But when you do it, make sure you're doing it not grudgingly, not out of compulsion because you have to. You're doing it cheerfully because you have been experiencing the grace of God in every aspect of it. And it's just a powerful thing that you and I have to share. Okay. Now we want to go to the other one. Thank you back there. What does it say? He scattered abroad. He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Who's he talking about? What's being referred to? Who's being the reference of he? Who is the he? God. Okay. God. God is the one who takes care. Under the Old Testament and New Testament. In fact, James says that the kingdom was prepared for the poor people. You know that, not the rich. In fact, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. Well, the eye of a needle was a little gate in the city of Jerusalem. All right? It's not talking about the needle you sew with. There was a gate, door, in Jerusalem called the needle. The eye of a needle. And for a camel to pass through that, it would have to get down on its knees and bend its head, and it would have to crawl through that element. It wasn't like a rich man can't be saved, but it's more difficult for them. Why? Because they put their trust in their money rather than in God. You know that, don't you? And the Bible says over in Timothy, also says in Titus, warn the rich. Warn them. Warn them, warn them, warn them. Because it will be more difficult for them to be able to recognize that what they're receiving is from the grace of God. How many of you know right now that everything you have has come from God, that he owns it, that you're a steward of it, and that God anticipates that you would take care of what he grants you and what he gives to you? But how many of you honestly know that Paul is trying to help us to understand God is looking for a people that will plant and plant and plant so that they can reap the harvest? And if they'll do what God has done, if they'll take what God has blessed them and give it to the poor, your righteousness will increase. Okay? Look at what it says. For he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply, multiply your seed for sowing, increase the harvest of your what? Your righteousness. What? You will be enriched in everything for all liberality through which us is producing what? You see, thanksgiving is thanksgiving. It is the aspects of you and me giving that you and I will have more to be thankful for. You know that? People who hoard and don't give are self-centered, selfish, not fulfilled. They're empty and unloving. The more you give, and the more you give cheerfully, and the more you give as God blesses you, I guarantee it. Jesus said it this way. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. What did he say? What did Jesus say? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So the result is that God has and is a gracious God, and he wants you to have real living by understanding generous giving. And in doing that, you will find an abundance of life within yourself. Jesus said, I've come that you could have it like more abundantly. Well, how did he give that? He gave it by giving. Jesus didn't come to take, he came to give. Give, give, give. He left us an example. I didn't come to be served, I come to be a servant. Jesus went about doing good. Everything he did was for someone else. That's life, people. That's the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. But we're living in a world today that's getting unbelievable, self-centered. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? On and on and on and on and on. Why should I do that? Why should I behave? Why? Why? What benefit am I going to get out of that? I don't do anything for what is coming back to me. I do it only for what I'm giving and how it's going to affect and make other people's lives better. You can't pay me to do the ministry of Jesus Christ. You can't. There's no money in the world that's going to pay me to be what God's called me to be. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And on he went. And they said to him, Lord, when in the world did we do this unto you? And Jesus said in Matthew 25, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. So everything we do by the grace of God is a grace gift, but we're doing it. The Bible says everything you do, whether you eat, drink, sleep, whatever you do it as unto the Lord. The whole aspect of our lives is to give glory to God, that he be glorified, not us. In fact, in Psalms 112, verses 5 through 9, 112 Psalms, 5 through 9, listen to these words. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause for judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. Righteous, giving. He will not fear evil. His heart is steadfast. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear. Until he looks with satisfaction on his adversity. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. Well, David said a long time ago. What did he do? He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. You know what the problem is? Did you hear what he said? You know how many people are blowing their own horns? Huh? You don't go around bragging, blowing your horn. You don't have to. If you're doing what God's called you to do and you're manifesting the grace of God, people will know it. And so to speak, you'll receive the honor for what you're doing. Let honor be given where honor is due. Isn't that what it says? Yeah, it does. The whole aspect of that. So generosity, as it is the point of living. It really is. And a virtue to be developed. And I've never had anybody in my life that I've loved and come to love any more than the wife that God gave me. And she's such an unbelievable, generous woman. Not only to me, but to my children, to so many people. She's an example. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 7, just go back to chapter 8. This is what it said. But just as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in love, we're inspiring you. See that you abound in this gracious work also. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Must purpose in your heart, not grudgingly, not under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. Why am I emphasizing that? Just as you purpose in your heart. How many of you, you don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you, before you even came to service this morning, already had purpose in your heart what you was going to give to God today? Isn't that who we're given to? How many already purposed it? You knew exactly what you were going to give to God today, and you knew exactly that you were given it willingly and without compulsion, and you could give it to him cheerfully. Okay? Isn't that important, isn't it? So you must desire. You have to want to be generous. You have to desire to be a generous person. Jesus, did he not give us all, everything? Did he not lay his life down for all of us? Chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, verse 9. Notice what it says. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, that means he owned everything, right? Yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Think about it. The aspect of what Jesus did. He's using our Lord as an example of what and how we ought to be motivated to give. As you and I. Are we not a blessed people? And are there not those who are not as blessed as we are? And isn't the principle is that if God sees us willing to invest in the kingdom and give into the kingdom generously, that he'll multiply your seed so that you'll have more to give. Isn't that not the principle I'm reading here? I don't want to read into something that's not there. But he says that if you're willing, and you will indeed sow bountifully, he'll increase your harvest. With the intent, however, that you're not going to hoard it. You're going to give it back and give it back and give it back and give it back. Isn't that the principle? I believe it is, okay? I believe it is with all my heart. Chapter 8, verse 13. For this is not for the ease of others, but for the way of equality. Now, I don't know. All of us here have the ability to give at a different level. I mean, we're not all, but we should all give as we've been prospered. That brings equality. Otherwise, I shouldn't anticipate that, you know, that they're going to do it and those people are going to give it. No, the Bible says we should desire to do our share. That whatever the share is, I should be a part of it. I should desire it. I should want to be a part of it. And I should long and beg for the opportunity. But I'm just going to do my share. I'm going to do what I'm capable of doing. That makes sense? Okay. Verse 14 of chapter 8, that there may be equality. Two verses says that there may be equality in the giving process. Remember, all right, in closing, give according to your ability. Didn't God give some 5 talents, some 10? And I mean, they all have different abilities, right? Don't we? So we're all at different levels of the ability. But we all know what that ability is, and we can give to the point where we know we're giving generously. Why? Because I know God will supply my needs. Most of our problem is that we've got ourselves into a want-me cord, and we're spending money for the things that are going to burn up someday rather than investing it in eternal things. That's my conviction. All right? Give according to your ability. Remember, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Remember, God provides the seed to the sower. He multiplies the seed for sowing. He increases your harvest. Why? So that your righteousness will increase. That you'll have more to give to the poor, to the needy, to the mission, etc. Remember, giving generously is because it's not tax deductible. Okay, or for your own personal satisfaction because it makes you feel good. Oh, you ought to feel good, but that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it to glorify God. You're doing it to give God's kingdom what it needs to win this world to Christ. It does indeed need, and it costs, to evangelize. Okay, remember that. In chapter 9, 11, and 13 again, what's it going to do? What's it going to do? That through us is producing thanksgiving to whom? You ever thought about that? What do you think those people over in India did when they received the money you and I gave to them to build the orphanages and the bathrooms and to take care of those 60 young women that had been kicked out on the streets and and now they're being fed. They got nice little dresses. They're being schooled. You think maybe they were thankful? You think maybe over there they really were filled with thanksgiving? And who do you think they were thanking? God. And when you and I have opportunity to give and we see the fruit of our giving, what should that do to your hearts? What should that do with you and me? What type of things should be occurring? We ought to be grateful to God that He's blessed us in such a way we can be a blessing to others. Amen? Thanksgiving. Oh, that's coming up, isn't it? Thanksgiving to whom? To God. To God be the glory in everything we do as a body of people. It's not for you or me. It's not for any other person that we're giving that which God has blessed us with so God can be glorified in everything we did. Giving is a way of life, isn't it? Huh? It really is. Giving is the law of love. It's a law of love. You can't say you love the Lord and love God and love people if you're not giving. It's a part of us. It has to be, because love is a verb and it's an active word. It has to be seen. And I believe giving is that law of element of growth in every one of our lives. I've grown in my giving. I'm sure most of you have, right? Just like using your muscles. What if you don't use your muscles? You're going to lose it, right? Your talent, your abilities, whatever it is you've been blessed with, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it, right? So the point is, let's excel as a body of people in this ministry, that your seed, my seed, can be sown throughout the world, that God can bless it and increase it, and that we'll have more and more to be able to give and to share with the ministries that are going on in the world today. Why? Because it's going to bring thanksgiving to God. Isn't that what it says? It'll bring thanksgiving to God. And so I want God to see that what we're doing is so that people will be grateful and thankful that the Grand Ledge Church of Christ exists. Period. Amen? We've blessed a lot of people. We have. And we've taken care of our own, haven't we? We've taken care of a lot of people in our congregation that were hurting, needed help, needed financing, couldn't fill their gas tank for the winter, and we paid for it. We filled them. We provided food. We get in clothes every year. We do, and we minister. And I do it only because I want them to be able to see God living in us so they can be thankful to God. Amen? That's what we want. Let's stand together again, if we will, sing our closing hymn this morning, Give Thanks.